Now, Thursday, of course, is penciled in the diaries as movie day, and rightfully so. And here to take us through what he's been watching this week, Michael Jones is in with us now. Morning, Michael.
Good morning. I've got two contrasting films today. One will make you feel incredibly uplifted. The other one, not so much.
Oh, good. Which are we starting with?
Let's start with the one that will make you feel really good.
All right. Great.
This one is called Amazing Grace, and it was a very popular film at the recent Sydney Film Festival, actually. In 1972, Queen of Soul Aretha Franklin decided that she wanted to return to her roots and record a gospel album. So she and her producer, Jerry Wexler, decided to record that album live over a couple of nights at the New Temple Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles, accompanied by Aretha's backing band, plus the Reverend James Cleveland, who was a big dude in gospel at the time, and the Southern California Community Choir. Now, Aretha's record company, which was Atlantic, they were owned by Warner Brothers Movie Company at the time. And, of course, Warner Brothers saw dollar signs because concert films were big bucks in those days. After the Woodstock film made a ton of money, everybody wanted to make a concert film. So they thought, let's film Aretha doing this. So they hired acclaimed director Sidney Pollack, a man with no experience filming live music events, to make Amazing Grace, the movie, the concert film. Yes. There was just one problem. Someone on the crew forgot to bring a clapperboard.
That was the problem they had. And
as a result, the film stayed in the can for close to 40 years because once they had a look at the footage and then they had the sound, they weren't actually able to sync it. Because the clapperboard was essential to making films in 1972. But eventually, producer-director Alan Elliott got his hands on the footage and the sound, and the end result is the 87-minute concert documentary film, Amazing Grace. And what an amazing film he has created. Sure, continuity errors do abound, as some songs supposedly performed on night one were obviously filmed on night two or vice versa. But thanks to digital technology, which pretty much saved the day here, Elliot has managed to get the syncing right and has captured the spirit of two incredible performances by Aretha Franklin in 1972, as well as some amazing hairdos.
Yes.
If you have a look in the audience, some great beehives, some incredibly massive afros. Look out for them. But don't expect a highly polished, produced with an inch of perfection concert film. The whole thing looks and feels pretty loose and raw and in the moment. The cameramen are constantly getting into the shot and just people wandering around everywhere. We even get to experience the technical problems with the live audience as well. That said, Amazing Grace is a fitting tribute to Aretha Franklin, who passed away late last year. This was a woman at the peak of her powers. And even if you aren't moved by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't help but be moved by the power of Aretha Franklin's incredible voice. Amazing Grace, awesome Aretha.
I'm so glad that finally got made. Okay, all right, take the mood down.
All right, let's take it way, 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 way down.
Oh, God.
This is a film called The Nightingale, an Australian movie. It stars an Irish-Italian woman called Eileen Franciosi, Sam Claflin, British actor, an Indigenous actor called Baikali Ganambar, Australians Damon Herriman, Harry Greenwood, and I think Michael Sheesby might be Irish. This film, written and directed by Jennifer Kent, who did The Babadook.
Oh, cool. The gay icon of 2016.
Really? Well, I wasn't aware of that. Anyway, look, apparently Tasmania, or Van Diemen's Land as it was known then, was an incredibly harsh place to live in 1825, particularly if you were a female convict or Indigenous. Irish convict Claire, played by Franciosi, has been held captive beyond her 7-year sentence by the lecherous Lieutenant Hawkins, played by Sam Claflin. She's been pretty much used as a sex slave, even though she has been married and now has a child of her own. It's when Claire's husband, Aidan, played by Sheesby, tries to intervene that disaster ensues in one of the more unpleasant scenes audiences will ever have the dubious pleasure to witness. Now, left for dead, Claire is hell-bent on I Spit on Your Grave-style revenge, but will need help in her pursuit of Hawkins through the rugged and foreboding Tasmanian wilderness from local Indigenous tracker Billy, played by Ganambar. At first, there's little trust between the pair, as Claire is kind of a racist and Billy is understandably dubious about trusting white people, given what's been happening to his own people, namely extermination. But the two ultimately do form a bond in their mutual hatred of Hawkins. happens. The Nightingale is supposed to be a gothic horror film, but this film often crosses into being just plain old horrific and horrible. Whenever there is an opportunity to display the worst aspects of humanity, or perhaps be a bit restrained, this film always takes the former option. Whilst it is beautifully filmed, if you go into this film feeling slightly down at all, 136 minutes of relentless brutality and savagery might just push you over the edge, or at least to the point of post-traumatic stress. Apparently there was a clinical psychologist on set to help the actors with what they were doing. I think perhaps there should be a clinical psychologist available in cinemas for the audience to deal with what they're seeing. If you like your movies bleak, grim, nasty, and brutal with an unhealthy dollop of hopelessness, then maybe The Nightingale will sing the right notes for you. It certainly didn't for me.
I obviously haven't seen the movie, but I remember hearing that, I can't remember what film festival it screened at earlier in
Sydney
the year.
Film Festival.
Sydney
as well.
Film Festival. Yeah. And all these movie critics, like people who at the opening screening for Film Festival, got up and walked out.
I don't know about movie critics, but certainly good chunks of the audience did leave. Yes, it is incredibly relentless, the brutality in this film. So be aware. I think it's probably rated MA or rated R.
And, oh, God.
Not one for the kids. But I'll finish on a high point. Remember last week I talked about the film The Australian Dream?
Yes.
Well, this week, 2-for-1 ticket offer to all AFL club members this weekend to go and see The Australian Dream.
Oh,
so
cool.
Just go along with your AFL club membership to any cinema and say, two of us want to go and see The Australian Dream for the price of one.
We won't even judge you for your team.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, mostly. Thanks, Michael.
Pleasure.